If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris on a Wednesday. Person of the Year on the cover of Time Magazine. Once again, we didn't make it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Time Magazine featuring the Silence Breakers, a group the magazine identified with some familiar faces behind the hashtag MeToo movement, and at least one that is obscured as 2017's Person of the Year.
Yeah. The one that was identified as a strawberry picker from, I believe, California, she's using a fake name. But they're all women who have come forward and talked about harassment or abuse at some point at the hands of somebody who simply had, you know, some form of power over them or something like that. Taylor Swift, it's a little differently. She wasn't employed by the person who sexually harassed her.
No.
But it was a situation where she was posing for pictures after a concert. And this guy allegedly, you know, grabbed her by the rear end, and she didn't sue for money or publicity or anything. She just sued for $1 because, first of all,
he got the guy fired.
Well, and the deal is she wasn't going to sue. He sued her because she told one of her people about it, and they told the radio station, and the radio station fired the guy in Denver. And so he sued her for a great deal of money, and she countersued for $1. And had to go and testify. And if you see the picture, I mean, it pretty much looks like that's exactly where his hand is going. And uncharacteristically of her, she's actually starting to lean away from him like there's something wrong. You know, because she's taken thousands of pictures with people. But anyway, that was that. And Ashley Judd, you also recognize her on the cover of Time. She spoke out against Harvey Weinstein, and then turned out there were dozens and dozens of women who spoke out against Harvey Weinstein. That, you know, he was like one of those guys. You think about the casting couch. Well, that's apparently exactly what he had.
Yeah.
You know, here's your opportunity to get a job in this business. All you have to do is the following. You know,
just read the instructions.
Well,
Tarana Burke, an activist, started the Me Too movement more than 10 years ago to help young women, particularly young women of color from low-wealth communities who have been sexually abused, assaulted, exploited, and harassed.
Yeah.
Susan Fowler, the Uber girl. Sarah Gelser, Oregon State Senator, detailed in a formal complaint filed in November, a years-long pattern of unwanted touching and sexual harassment by Senator Jeff Cruz, and indicated at least 15 women have had similar experiences. The State House launched an investigation and relieved Cruz of his committee assignments. Go sit in the back, Senator.
Yeah, you are no longer the chairman.
Yeah, and then Adama Iwu, a lobbyist for Visa, who said she was groped in front of colleagues, organized an open letter signed by 147 women to call out sexual harassment in California state politics.
Yeah.
The letter launched a state Senate investigation.
Some of these are guys making power moves. Some of these are guys who think they're funny. There are all sorts of different situations, but none of them are particularly ideal, and none of them are you know, asked for or wanted.
Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you grope somebody? Because I know why I wouldn't.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Well, outside of the fact it's wrong.
Number one, it's wrong. Number two, you know, do unto others, et cetera, as you would have them do unto you. Let's see. Number three, I am married. Number four, I guess I wouldn't particularly like somebody doing that to me. How many reasons do we need here?
Well, Todd's reason was close to mine.
Yeah.
He went like this.
Oh.
Like,
well,
haul off and get smacked.
Exactly. Do that to the wrong person. Well, everybody would be the wrong person, but do that to an aggressive wrong person, and you could get your nose broken.
How about
for
somebody
it.
Going, help, help, what are you doing? Help.
Yeah, also.
This guy's assaulting me. Help.
Also, that
and
would be a
bad idea. You're standing there going.
You know, people keep asking. People keep asking this question, especially guys keep asking this question, you know, like, well, like, why didn't they come forward right when it happened? Well, there's a lot to that, especially if it's your boss.
Yeah.
Especially if it's somebody who owns the company, especially if it's somebody in any position of power over you, and you have to think for a minute. Now, wait a minute. What's going to happen to me, and who's
going
to...
And how am I going to...
And who's going to... Because I've told you guys this story. I know somebody who was accosted right after a Christmas party, and she turned in the guy the next day, and nobody believed her because she was like a 20-year-old working in the office, and this was the guy who ran the office. And he said, nope. Not even close. Nothing like that happened.
So who do you,
So what
do you
do?
Turn your boss into if you don't have an HR department? Yeah. Say,
and this particular individual had a perfect record in the office until that point, and then for the next 3 or 4 months before she resigned, she kept getting written up for things.
Yep.
Like left a pencil on your desk.
One of the better TV shows this year. One of the better TV shows this year, I think, is The Good Doctor. And this week's episode, which was the winter finale, whatever they call it, there's a woman who is harassed. Nothing really untoward has happened yet, except the guy keeps, he's one of those, I want to call him a fondler, a toucher, touches her back, you know, and and puts his arm around her and does all this stuff, and then keeps asking her out and tells her what he's going to do and what they're going to have for breakfast. And so she just went, you know? And she told one of her friends about it, and her friend went and accosted the guy.
Yeah.
And said, you touch her again, I'm going to break your nose. And, of course, the guy turned him in.
Yeah.
He got fired, and so we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's amazing. KBOI News Time. 8:46 time.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul J. and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
So the Silence Breakers are the Time Magazine Person of the Year.
Dave,
who did you think it was going to be? I thought it was going to be Colin Kaepernick.
Well, that was a possibility. He was named somebody else's Person of the Year. I didn't think Time would go with that. I really didn't know. I thought it might even be Trump's, you know, again, but it was Trump last year. And then they had that whole thing about him saying that he had already turned it down, which then they said wasn't true and blah, blah.
Yeah.
But
that was kind of bad.
Yeah. Well, according to them, they don't do it that way. They don't ask somebody for their permission to make them the person of the year. These five women obviously did pose for the pictures, and so they knew what was going on, but were apparently sworn to secrecy. But and it's not just the five women who were on the cover. They're just representative of all the other women. And Dave of Boise says, once again, I would like to know why the male victims are not being mentioned. I know they are out there, and they should be included. It's not a one-way street. Probably because, number one, a female in power sexually abusing a male isn't as common as the other way. And number two, though, I mean, and a male can be abused by a male, obviously. And Terry Crews, the actor, who is a big guy, former football player.
Yep.
And he's on that with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's on that show right now, and he's been on a bunch of stuff and a lot of commercials and things. He got his for want of a better term, crotch grabbed at a party in Hollywood by somebody that was a producer or, you know, basically a big shot. And he came forward about it and ended up suing as well, simply because I think the guy just thought he was being funny and Terry Crews didn't think it was that funny.
No, I wouldn't think it would be that funny. Somebody I didn't know grabbed me there.
Yeah.
No.
Or even maybe somebody you did. You'd say, well, I know you, but not that well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But that would be my guess, is that it's not quite as common. Although, yeah, but it's not completely ignored in this particular instance. David of Boise says, what happened to the days of a woman in distress and a man coming to her rescue? It used to be if a girl received an unwanted pinch on the bum, the guy doing the pinching would receive a slap across the face, and if he kept pursuing her, the nearest gentleman would step in and put a stop to things. Part of the problem today is the word women itself has been blurred. A woman these days is not necessarily a woman anymore. They may have the proper plumbing, but it stops there. If a girl is taking a man's stance and looking for physical confrontation with a man, to me, that's no lady. So in short, society has made it hard for a man to be a man, and it's made the woman into something else entirely. They aren't split up into groups, or they are split up into groups at best.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if I agree with all that.
No, that reasoning kind of lost me.
Basically, you're not supposed to assault or accost anybody, you know, who isn't inviting you to do so. And the way a person is dressed or simply the way that, you know, they're acting around other people is not an invitation. Again, you know, it's like we said, I mean, it's very simplistic, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Do you think, I mean, a lot of times what you're hitting on is true, and the man will say, well, she provoked it. She was dressed provocatively. She was dancing suggestively.
Okay.
She did this and that. She winked at me. She gave me the eye. Do they really, I mean, does this stuff really happen, or do they
perceive it,
perceive it as such.
Yeah.
That's why it's so hard to prosecute this stuff.
My question I asked the other day, I said, okay, if a woman comes to work and she's one of your coworkers, mm-hmm. and she is dressed, I'll say, as an Inuit, from head to toe, she is in a parka and
gotcha.
She is completely covered. Mm-hmm. Do you have any responsibility whatsoever not to assault or rape that woman? Any whatsoever?
Well, sure.
Okay. How about if she shows up in a bikini or in her underwear? Do you still have a responsibility not to rape or assault that woman?
Sure.
Okay. Then it really doesn't matter what they're wearing. True. The whole point is to treat somebody as an equal or just simply with consideration.
Yeah. It's more actions than dress, I would say. But still.
You know, and the whole thing, I mean, I get a lot of people to call up and go, well, you know, it used to be, well,
when is an invitation an invitation, and when is it?
Yeah, yesterday.
Misunderstand.
Yesterday was a used to be, but if something is not accepted anymore, it simply isn't.
Yeah.
Time changes.
I'm glad I'm out of the. I'm glad I'm no longer a player. 8:56. We'll have a news break. Be back. Talk about something refreshing.
Ah.
After the news break.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hello. KBOI News Time 9:07. While home prices have always been ruled by supply and demand, right? That calculation is on steroids in today's market because of an acute housing shortage.
Okay.
Now, we were lucky enough to, when we got a few bucks ahead, we bought other property.
Right. We being you.
Me and my wife.
Right.
Yeah. The shortage is the worst at the low end of the market, which, me being me, is kind of where I bought.
Right.
No. which is why prices in that tier are rising at twice the pace of high-end homes.
Okay. I want to interject this.
Okay.
The other day, I haven't been looking for a house. I haven't been pricing real estate for some time. Okay. I haven't even been paying attention to the ads or anything.
Which you don't do if you're not buying a house.
Right. The other day, there was an ad that came on, and I heard the phrase starter homes for $200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah, well, you've been
And it was a tiny bit of a shock to me.
You've been to Phoenix, right, where they have these big billboards?
Yeah, that's true. I have.
They have these big billboards out in the desert, and they're going to build something there, and they go, homes from the mid-400s.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you're going, what?
As if, oh, boy.
Yeah. Nationally,
I can you know, practically walk to the filling station where I work from there.
Mm-hmm. Nationally, home prices jumped 6.2% in September.
Wow.
Compared with September 2016, accelerating from the that's a month.
Mm-hmm.
1 month. Accelerating from the annual gains in previous months, according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index.
Yeah.
Prices have now recovered nearly 46% from the trough of the housing crash back in early 2012 and are nearly 6% higher than the peak of prices before the big crash. All real estate is local, and prices are rising more quickly in some markets, and we are one of those markets. We're up nearly 10% in September in the Treasure Valley.
In terms of cities in the United States and livability, desirability, marketability, things like that.
Affordability.
Affordability, too. Yeah. Boise is considered to be clean and neat and not used up and desirable.
Yeah, and also a great place to retire.
Yeah. As opposed to, say, Pittsburgh or Detroit or something of that nature.
You know what?
Those are considered like, well, they've had better days.
Some of those interior cities, I read an article last night.
Yeah.
And it listed three. Milwaukee. Damn it.
And two others. Okay, so big cities.
Big cities, you know, like Great Lakes cities, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Louisville was another one.
Okay.
Milwaukee, Louisville, and some other city.
Right.
Baltimore. No, wasn't Baltimore.
Buffalo?
I don't know.
Cleveland?
Anyway, and they're saying that those cities mm-hmm. are making a big comeback.
Like urban renewal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the whole thing about the cities listed is none of them depended on heavy industry. Like Detroit.
And, right. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. places like that.
Yeah. But anyway, if you bought a home in, you know, a year or so ago, mm-hmm. you're doing good.
Yeah, well done there.
Yeah. And most of the people who's stuck with it and hung on to their home, and we have some friends.
And some sweat equity would help,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
We have some friends who did it, and, you know, they went from being upside down in their home by $100,000.
To right side up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't have to move, which was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Low-dose CTs.
What got me about this particular ad, though, that said starter homes, you know, for $200,000 or $300,000?
Was that here?
First of all.
Was that here?
I'm not sure where it was. Okay. It might have been California or someplace. I don't know. It was just that part of the phrase that, because I'm not always, the TV is usually on at my house. But it doesn't always mean that somebody's necessarily watching it.
Exactly.
And a lot of times I can be in the same room and I can be tuning it out.
Do you
because
turn
I,
it on for the dogs?
Tim no.
turns
Actually,
the TV
we,
on.
No, we don't
when
do that.
When we leave the house and the TV's not on, she will turn it on for the dogs.
Does it kind of soothe them or keep them company? I mean, that's great if it does.
I wouldn't think so.
Well, I don't know. You know, it might.
Yeah, it might.
I can't say it doesn't.
I don't mind it being on, though, because, you know. Well, burglars would think there's somebody home.
Our dogs are, I think, much more entertained by the traffic that they hear outside because that's, you know, what they respond to.
Yeah. Okay, back to the home.
I just, first of all, $200,000 or $300,000 for a starter home seemed a little high.
Starter.
Okay. Yeah. But, of course, I'm thinking back to, like, okay, first of all, let's go back to my parents who bought the home they still live in for $12,050.
Yeah.
And I like it.
First
you know,
home
they,
I bought
now they
was
did, they did. They did add on to it a great deal in the 70s.
Sure.
Okay. So they you know improved it in the sweat equity and all that sort of thing. And that's okay. But it's been you know it's been 50 years or 53 years now since then, 53 mm-hmm. or 54.
Sure.
And so okay, a lot has changed. But I can remember when my uncle, who was a doctor in the Portland area, bought a home. Out in Tualatin in a very nice country area. It was just beautiful and green, mm-hmm. and he had 5 acres around it, and it cost him $75,000. And I remember thinking, wow, that's a lot for a house. $75,000 at that time.
Boy, now and then I remember snatch that baby
in,
up.
And then I bought a house in 1994. I don't have it anymore, and I bought it for $86,500. Yeah. And I can remember, and I had the same thought my dad did when he bought his house for $12,000, which is
this?
How am I ever going to pay all this off? You know, when he had done that 30 years earlier.
I remember you telling me that about him with $12,000.
Exactly. But I had the same feeling with $86,000. And now they're talking about starter homes. Now, a starter home is like when you're a newlywed and you're fresh out of college and you have a job and you're going to buy a house. And now it's $200,000 or $300,000. Now, the second part of that kind of got to me is if you told me that I could have something for $200,000 or $300,000, the first thing I'd say, well, which is it? Because if it's three...
yeah, there's $100,000 in there.
Because that's 50% more than the previous figure you just mentioned.
Yeah. Well, do you want, marble countertops?
Yeah.
Or do you want a little...
That's like saying, I'll sell you this for between $2 and $3 million. And by that, I mean between $2 and $3 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have it for $350.
It's like our crowd estimations.
Yeah.
Oh, there were between 10 and 15,000 people there.
Yeah.
The guy goes, no, there wasn't over 100 people there.
Right.
Well, that's between...
Between 10 and people 15, and 15,000 people. Yeah, but that's what it sounds... But it just sounded like... you know, well, it's like in Major League Baseball, when salaries for years... You know, you heard that Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio was making $100,000.
Yeah.
And I think the average person thought, you know, Billy Goodman was probably making $60,000. No, Billy Goodman was making $3,000
mm-hmm.
while Joe DiMaggio was
Those
making $100,000.
Selling cars in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. They had jobs in the winter.
Yeah.
And even you go to the late 60s when it got up to where, you know, there were some superstars and stuff like Hank Aaron making $200,000. And there were still guys making $10,000 who were starting pitchers for the Yankees and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah.
Then, in 1980, for the first time, a salary hit $1 million. And, of course, that was about 5 years after the whole free agent thing started, you know. And Nolan Ryan was the first player to hit $1 million. So it immediately, though, it went exponentially. It went from $1 million to suddenly somebody was making $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
It had taken 100 years to get from... You know, making a buck a day or whatever to $1 million a year.
Then they added another
million.
And
then they just added another million. And then it wasn't that long after that that all of a sudden Alex Rodriguez came along and signed that contract for $21 million or whatever it was a year, which seemed outrageous. But now the biggest stars in the game are making about $20 to $30 million a year.
That's ridiculous.
Now, a lot of that happened because, you know, back in the 80s when Peter Ueberroth became the commissioner, he started licensing the logos for products, and that made a huge difference. All of a sudden, the teams were making a kajillion more dollars, but still, it just seemed, you know, and meanwhile, there are guys who are, like, making $2,000 more than they were making 12 years ago.
Yeah. It's 9:16. We'll be back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Money.
It's a kick.
Money.
Get away. I knew I had that wrong. Anyway,
it's KBOI nine. Rewards code is
money. M-O-N-E-Y. Not like on that building.
Yeah. Yeah, not Mutual in New York. Money.
Yeah, or not, was it Money Money?
Yeah. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter money. With an E,
you know, he thought
in today's 5,000 rewards.
When they wrote that song, they were looking out the window at the Mutual of New York building. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Because there weren't any girls they knew named Moni Moni.
Yeah, let's go to John of Boise. John.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
So talking about home prices, I just saw something the other day. I don't know what value of home this was in reference to, but they were saying they found that it. To build a new house, there's $84,000 just in different regulations and fees to city and state and federal government agencies.
$84,000?
Yeah. So when you're talking about, you know, your dad or buying a $75,000 house,
mm-hmm.
that's the old baseline of zero.
Right.
Is now the baseline is $85,000.
Was zero, now $85,000. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, and then... And then it doesn't help that, you know, and that's just, I assume that's just land and, you know, just to get everything started. And then you have, you know, everything that goes into the actual builder's regulation costs and the time they lose. So, I mean, it's hardly worth it to be a home builder anymore.
Yeah, my wife and I have owned the same house for 30 years, and the price of the house has gone up maybe, wow, it's gone up from, I think we paid 80-some, 87 for it way back when, and I think it's worth $380,000 now. But, like my wife said, when we bought this house for $87,000, you could buy a house just like it for $87,000. Now to buy a house just like that house would cost you $380,000, which is what your house is worth now. So have you gained anything? Or you can still buy the same house, it just costs eight times as much. So, I don't know.
All right. Well, and my
John.
Appreciate the call.
Good, that's good stuff.
And my dad makes that point a lot, you know, when he talks about how much a car was in the in the early 60s or how much a house was and stuff. He says, well, and plus at that time, you know, I had a contract for this much money and was making this much per hour. And he said, you worked about the same number of hours as you do now to pay for certain things. You know, even Mickey Mantle, when they asked him, fortunately before he died, they asked him, because afterward it would have been so much quieter, they asked him, you know, how do you feel about these ball players now, you know, the best players in the game making millions and millions of dollars when you topped out at about, you know, 100 or 150,000? Mm-hmm. He says, well, you got to remember, he says, back when I did that, you could buy a Cadillac for $4,000.
I bought a new red convertible in 1966 for $2,000.
New red convertible.
Volkswagen convertible. Brand spanking new, no miles, $2,000.
Yeah. And I like
that same car today, even that car used 1966 Volkswagen is worth more than that.
Which I think it's kind of a classic now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably worth 10, maybe 8. That's so money.
Yeah. I was going to say, but you're not kicking yourself for not storing it all these years.
No, because thing never did run right. It's 9:26.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
That song made no sense at all.
Yeah.
That was Tommy James, right?
Or was that Billy Idol? Was Billy Idol? Okay.
Billy Idol. All right. Moni.
Underwear, I can't tell the difference anymore.
No. They're all the same person, you know. My daughter went to Lady Gaga last night in Austin.
Oh, yeah?
Said it was the best concert she's ever been to.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's the best concert you've ever been to? I can't necessarily tell you. There have been a lot of them where I left feeling fantastic, you know.
This is just personal.
Yeah.
Like the music.
Mm-hmm.
Really done. Hell Freezes Over by the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. That was.
I thought was. And man, we were right there. We were like three rows.
That was the Eagles concert you got to go to.
Yeah. And then I wanted to go to the next one. And my brother-in-law decided to take a header on a horse.
Yeah, and so you had to go to the hospital instead.
Yeah, with two tickets.
In your pocket.
In my pocket, and I couldn't give them away.
Yeah.
You had something going
on. Yeah, I was playing golf. So
yeah, everybody had something going on. And, you know, I had $200 worth of tickets.
It was not wintertime because it was like after 5 p.m. and I was still playing golf. But
man.
Everybody was,
sick.
Everybody was doing something.
And then I get over there and he's not hurt.
Well,
not that bad anyway.
You know what? You did your family. You did the job your family's supposed
so
to do.
I backed my car over him.
Well, okay, that may have been a little too far, but but right up till then, you were really
I know.
Being a good brother-in-law.
I was. Son of a gun. Anyway, all right. We've been talking about money. We're done with that, and just
yes, we're done with money.
Yeah, we're done with.
I hope that's not true, but it could. Oh, I wanted to say this too.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Roy Cosart. Roy was our latest qualifier. He was the sixth person to text Las Vegas to the Diamond Heating and Cooling text line. And Roy is now in the running for the trip to Las Vegas next week in time for the Las Vegas Bowl. Keep listening for your chance to win next hour from Harman Travel and from News Talk 670 KBOI. That's us. Just 22 more qualifiers to go. And so you do have a chance.
Mm-hmm. We had a story yesterday that McDonald's was bringing back its dollar menu.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, and I think you and I both, neither one of us were aware that it had gone away. But I guess
that's
they had changed the name of it because stuff wasn't just $1. Like, they had stuff for $1.49 or whatever. So it was their value menu, I think.
Yeah. You know what happened?
What?
People stopped buying it.
Oh, really? Cause
yeah.
Because it didn't say dollar menu anymore?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's psychology.
Yeah. McDonald's, Taco Bell, and the rest of the fast food world know they'll have plenty of luck when it comes to charging just a buck. After falling by the wayside, the dollar menus are all coming back. This week alone, McDonald's brought back its dollar menu and even upsells it with $2 and $3 items. Taco Bell followed up by announcing it will add 20 more items to its dollar menu next year. 20 more.
Well, that's interesting. On the dollar menu, they have items that are $2 and $3.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess it has the word dollar
in it. Yeah. Those singles add up quick, even for the billion-dollar fast food purveyors.
There's the word dollar again.
The economy is strong, but people are still looking for value. And now
a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
What happened that everybody suddenly had a $5 lunch?
Yeah.
You know, and there were $5 footlongs. And mm-hmm. so then somebody had a $5 meal deal, and then somebody else had a $5 this and a $5 that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were even places that had a $4 meal, and then they increased it to $5 so they could compete with the other $5 meals. Yeah. I don't know that for a fact. What, Todd?
I think of the $5 pizza.
Oh, yeah. $5
yeah.
pizza. Yeah.
yeah.
Or like it was at Little Caesars, right? Where they.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, hot and ready.
Still going, right?
See, notice when you say $5 pizza, I know exactly what you're talking about.
McDonald's, which deep sixed. Yeah. Its last dollar menu in 2012, so it's been 5 years.
That's how closely I pay attention.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now has its new $1, $2, and $3 menu. For $1 diners, you can get items like a cheeseburger.
I'll take it.
For $2, the Bacon McDouble. Now, you like that double cheeseburger.
I do like the double cheeseburger. Well, they have it's weird because they have a McDouble and they have a double cheeseburger. And I couldn't figure out the difference until one day Debbie, who can see better than I did, said, the McDouble only has one slice of cheese on it, but it has two patties. The double cheeseburger has two patties and two slices of cheese, which apparently makes all the difference in the world.
Can you tell the difference in the taste?
Not really, but, you know, I mean, and I don't.
Cheapest.
I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth anyway. Yeah. I brought home a cheeseburger. Okay.
$3, you get the classic chicken sandwich.
You want to know what time it is or what kind it is? No, don't really care.
Taco Bell will boost the list of items,
yeah,
as we mentioned, by 20. In the $1 menu that's already stocked with choices like the grilled breakfast burrito with bacon, that's $1.
I'm sorry, what did you say after bacon?
The spicy tostada and the triple layer nachos.
Mm.
All for $1. By expanding their value menus, fast food restaurants put renewed pressure on other quick service eateries as they fight for the same dining dollars. What determines, and I don't eat very much at fast food places,
mm-hmm.
what determines where you go?
Oh, what's
your favorite fast food place?
I would go, I'm not entirely sure. I've always kind of liked Subway. But there are others that I like just as well. But you don't like Subway? Okay. Or you do like Subway? You don't like Subway?
Subway's okay.
Okay.
But, you know,
I like the way that you can
You always feel angelic.
I went
in there and nothing was fried. I feel so holy.
Well, that's not why
I'm
I like
losing
it. I think the reason I like it is because you go in there and say, okay, put some of those on. No, put some more of those on. Okay, don't put any of those on. Now do put some of those on. And it's like you're making your own sandwich, which, come to think of it, would be cheaper, wouldn't it? Anyway, but which I don't. I don't have little bins like that at home. Well, we have them. They're just not laid out in full. Anyway, where were we? Okay, fast food places.
Mm-hmm.
I like pretty much mostly all of them. And I would say mostly all of them because eventually there will be one I probably don't like. But I haven't really, you know, experienced that as yet. Okay, I went to a Roy Rogers once that was in New York City, and I remember thinking, wow, this is overpriced. And at the time, it was just like there was
89 cents.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was right down there in very near Times Square, and I was with two people who were fairly picky eaters and didn't like to go anywhere that they hadn't already ever been before, which is not that much fun. But never mind that. Anyway, I convinced them to go to Roy Rogers because I said, well, it's a fast food place. I mean, you know, it's like other fast food places, essentially. And we went in there, and your real basic hamburger and a little basic small fries and a drink came to like $7 a piece, which at that time, because this was in the 90s, at that time, that was a lot. And the taste of it wasn't worth the price of it at that time. Mm-hmm. And I think Roy Rogers has since gone out of business anyway.
Yeah,
I've never even seen one. But there really wasn't anything cowboy about the whole place. So
you didn't get a six shooter or anything?
No, nothing. Just like a hamburger. But okay, so that wasn't great. But I don't know. I like most of them simply for the convenience, and it could be price. But like, I don't particularly go to one or the other.
Just wherever you are.
Generally wherever you are, kind of. There's a McDonald's that is very close to our house. In fact, the closest.
Every once in a while, I need a quarter closest, pounder with cheese.
The closest, and I like that. The closest gas station to our house is a Chevron, and it's just a few blocks away, and it has a McDonald's attached to it or in it or whatever you call that. And it's a Jackson Chevron with a McDonald's. And so we mostly get gas there, unless we happen to be taking a trip to Costco, in which case we get it there. And we mostly, if we get some fast food or something, we mostly get it from McDonald's because it is so close to our house.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it doesn't have to be a chain like that Zim's Burger Stash, which is not too much farther. I really enjoy that place. And I always like Golden Wheel and all these, you know,
sure.
And like Fancy Freeze right over here, you know, stuff like that. I like the individual one, or the, not individual,
local.
They call independent ones. Yeah. Local ones.
Indies, yeah. Huh. The thing I like about McDonald's.
Yeah.
Is their hamburgers aren't messy.
That's true. That's true.
You can
drive and eat them without really expecting too much of a mess.
Yeah, some of the places you go to, there's so much mayonnaise and lettuce and tomatoes and onions. You can't even pick it up if you're a passenger.
I see you're on a road trip. Would you like a bowl of soup with that?
Yeah.
No.
Want an apron?
I feel like that would be a bad idea.
Yeah. So I don't like them overly messy.
Yeah.
Burger King, they have a value menu. Wendy's, value menu. Dairy Queen, KFC, Carl's Jr.'s, and Hardee's.
Mm-hmm.
They all have $5 meal deals.
Meals, yeah.
So, there you go. Food's going to be cheap. Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Now, some of those places...
has tweaked its queso recipe.
Some of them are called fast food, and some of them are called quick service, and then there's casual dining. Yeah. There are these levels, you know, of in the restaurant business. We need to get to a break, don't we? 9:47, we'll be right back.
A Napa man will serve at least 3 years behind bars for 2 counts of felony sexual battery of a minor. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Sounds like a fantasy.
KBOI News Time, 9:52. Yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire. 9:52, and we have a caller on the line.
All righty.
And as soon as I can get my cursor working, we will find out who it is. Turn.
Terry and Boise.
Oh, Terry. Right. Oh, sorry. I see that it's Terry.
Gentlemen.
Oh, hey, Terry.
It's always a scream. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
It's always a scream. It's enjoyable to hear men talk about food, especially bacon, because, you know, they just love food so much. But, you know, and not to be too head trippy about it, really, but it shows that we live in liberty, that we have all those choices of all those restaurants to go to. You know, if you go ever to a communist nation, they don't have choices. Or the really, really regular people, not the people in power and the head of the party and all that stuff. They don't get, the poor people, they can't afford to go to.
Deciding which fast food place to go to, definitely a first world problem.
Absolutely. And, well, it's not even that we're just so, you know, wonderfully sophisticated. It's that we allow choices. That's all I was going to say.
I like it.
It was neat to listen to that and think, that is the sign of liberty. Listen to all that cute little talk going on. Especially about bacon. I have a brother who loves bacon.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so cute. Yesterday, something happened real fast. I went to a fast food restaurant. If I cheat on my no-carb arthritis diet and have a little sugar, I have to quick, within 10 minutes, have some protein, cut that glycemic index. So I go to a fast food restaurant, any of them, and just order a patty with no bun and no condiments, you know, and then I can cut that down. And this guy, I think I must have looked really, I don't know, bedraggly, anything. He gave me, I paid for my patty, and it's usually really cheaper on a dollar, you know.
Yeah.
And then he orders it, and he orders a bigger size. And I said, wait, you're not supposed to give me that. He goes, oh, it's okay. And I thought, oh, my God, he thinks I'm homeless. But isn't that cute?
Yeah.
The spirit of Christmas. So anyway, Merry Christmas, you guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas
Merry
to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Bye-bye.
See, if I was that guy, I'd be looking for the dog. She ordered a patty without a bun.
It must be for her pet.
Must be for her. Except being a pet owner and having bought hamburgers for my dog. I mean, haven't we all? Huh?
Well, yes.
Come on, yeah. Hey, give me a double cheeseburger meal.
I have spoiled every dog I've ever had. Completely rotten. And if you don't believe me, ask anyone I've ever lived with.
But you get the burgers plain.
Yeah.
And you do get the bun, because then you can hold it in your hand.
Yeah, no onions, because they're not supposed to have onions.
No.
Right.
That's good. All right.
And no dark chocolate or whatever. Well, you wouldn't have that on a hamburger anyway.
No. I had a dog eat a whole big bag of chocolate chips once.
Was the dog okay, ultimately? Or?
Not really, not for a while.
How was your carpet? The
dog didn't come in the house for a long time.
Yeah, that's probably wise.
Yeah, but we didn't get him out quick enough, of course.
Oh, well.
And my son, Jeff.
Life.
Yeah. Who allowed him to have
he left the...
he fed him to him. Hey, you look at it. He likes him. Yeah,
Cruz,
no,
you Cruz
didn't
used to
feed
do that.
Those, did
Cruz used to do that. My plate was right here on the floor, and I only left for a second.
It's 9:55. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk about more serious stuff. Maybe. Maybe we won't.
Yeah, probably.